Welcome to a new reality. Weekend at Effie's enters 2024 with the magic and premonition of certain things like the airing of the grievances. All four grievances will be aired. You should join the Patreon so you're not hearing this in the new year. That's also discussed. We're going to talk about Normand, who is possibly a Mormon. We're going to talk about yoga and how sweaty I get. We're going to talk about what Taylor really thinks, and we're going to talk about how it's not a fucking promo. It's a discussion about my emotional well-being. Welcome to Weekend at Effie's. It is almost the new year. And for those of you listening saying, wait a second, it's Monday, January 1st. It is a new year, but that's because you're not subscribed to the Patreon. This is my yearly pledge discussion to get you to sign up for the weekendateffies.com Patreon. What do you get? Well, you get a full video of the episodes. You get bonus minisodes. This week, our movie John discussion, which is an hour long of the 2011 Footloose remake that we just recorded. An hour long.
Yep.
And all kinds of bonus materials, minisodes every week, ask questions on the pod, discounts on Effie merchandise. Sign up. weekendateffies.com. Get on the Patreon. This is a new year. This is 2024 for you, but you could have already heard this episode along with many, many others if you had signed up for the Patreon. So I hope that you will join all the many people who are on our Patreon and make the switch to getting these episodes early. And it is built into Spotify now. You get the early episodes on Spotify.
Yeah.
Incredible. Okay, Peter, I've been arguing with myself over here.
Very Gemini of you.
Yeah, well, of course. But I don't want to... I usually have a pretty positive, upbeat attitude about most things on this podcast. But I felt like, okay, I didn't get to complain during my Festivus airing of the grievances. So I wanted to air some grievances as we start the new year and let them off. And just be done with them.
Very unusual for you to air grievances on this podcast.
Do I have a different idea of what I'm doing here? Am I not coming in just with excitement all the time about the positivities in my life? Is that not what this is? Am I grieving? Do I have grievances, Peter?
Yeah, you have grievances.
Okay, well, these grievances are going to be a little more of a personal attack on some people.
Okay.
Which is very unlike me, right? I have four specific grievances.
Okay.
All right. This is
one.
The first grievance. These are in-depth grievances. All right. I tweeted about this earlier, and it was how I read most people's dream match list. And by people, I mean professional wrestlers. Are you familiar with the concept of the dream match list? So at the end of the year, a lot of wrestlers will put up a list of who they hope to have matches with in the new year.
So it's like a mood board.
It's like a mood board for who you hope to be booked with in wrestling matches for the year.
Okay.
Does this make sense?
Uh-huh.
Like, I really hope I get a match with this person, which I understand on some levels. But, and I really didn't want to bring it up because I saw my current arch nemesis, who we will discuss.
We've been watching a lot of 30 Rock lately, so for you to say arch nemesis is really funny.
My current arch nemesis, Mance Warner, had one of the same complaints, and I think that's something that makes what we're doing here interesting is we have a lot of the same thoughts on things, myself and Mance Warner. I just think I go about them in a different way than he does. But I'm going to, before I become the baby face of all baby faces and overtake the entire industry with my positive charm and hope for a better tomorrow, I'm going to roast the shit out of you guys. Because for you guys to put out these dream match lists is some of the most delusional, dumb shit I've ever seen. And second, it lets me know that, once again, whatever you think about me, you can think about me. I am one of the few professional wrestlers who actually understands objectively what our job is. These lists, Peter, let me just give you an example. Here's one of the lists. Here's my dream match list for the year. Next year, 2024, six people already under contract somewhere who I would have to be under contract to be in the ring with them. Four people who are my really close friends who I've wrestled before, but I really want to do it again. And no one saw it the first time because no one gives a fucking shit. Three people who I think are retired or not actually wrestlers. And I read these lists and I go, holy shit, is anyone going to say out loud that the point of a professional wrestling match is to put two people together to have combat or conflict so that it will draw paying fans to come see the match. No, that's not why we're in this at all. Everyone's sitting at home with a little scrapbook open going, I can't wait to fill this part of my scrapbook and have my dream match, not because it will financially motivate people to participate in professional wrestling from an outside perspective, but because it will make me feel complete and me feel good. You know my dream matches, Peter. I've listed them off to you before. $2 million up front and $2 million when you pin me. There's the dream match. There are idiots who are in this business because no one has ever looked at them and said, you are so cool. And so for years, they will continue trying to build moments, not because they are something that will financially help them be better at their job or financially help their job succeed more, but because it will make them eventually feel cool on the inside. And it is wrong and it is stupid. And I'm very tired of seeing people's lists because it lets me know that you have no interest in actually growing where you are booked at, that you care about where you're booked at, and that you continue to think if you are booked at specific places or doing specific things or having specific matches, that it will somehow make you matter when you can't make anything you do matter to anyone but yourself. That's the first grievance.
What is it that we're calling it? The debtor signing autographs?
Yeah, yeah.
I like that there's a debtor signing autographs section of these dream matches.
Yeah, yeah, debtor signing autographs. I can't wait to get in the ring with them. They're the laziest old man you've ever seen who can barely functionally stand in a ring or get in the ropes. This will be the dream match for me because then I'll get to say I was in the ring with my childhood hero. Second grievance.
Number two.
And this one is a similar grievance to number one. There are so many people, and this is, I have to preface this by saying, I specifically have a lot of anxiety right now over two things. And it's my own fault, and you already know that I bring this upon myself. Big Gay Brunch in Florida and Big Gay Brunch in WrestleMania, Philadelphia. And you go, why do you keep doing this? And I go, because the people need it. Once again, I'll bring up Mance Warner, who says that I could have everything I want in this world if I would stop trying to help other people. But it is in my nature to put on these shows with my name on them, where people think I'm a fucking narcissist, egotistical loser because I have to have shows named after me, which are specifically there to spread the clout that I already have to help other people get into the eye line of people who would like their work and what they do. Y'all who are putting up these graphics already, that you are available for WrestleMania week, like it is something we are looking for talent for, like I am not overwhelmed with 100 fucking DMs a week of people telling me they are available for WrestleMania week. I just want to clear this up across the board and not just my show. There are people who last year were saying it felt like we used to discover a lot more new talent who were being given chances during WrestleMania week at these WrestleMania shows. And it feels like now it's a lot of people who are already in the mainstay of the indies. Let me be clear. If that's your opinion, you at the time just weren't paying attention to the indies. And so you were going to indie shows only during WrestleMania week and then being surprised by talent who had been working very hard all year. These shows exist at WrestleMania week as a season finale. This isn't the season opener. This is, in my opinion, and I've done this for a while, in my opinion, these are shows where large-scale promotions are coming in to give their best and show what they've been doing all year, or promotions are coming in to provide a show, you know, to give thanks and gratitude to the talent that have worked or stepped up or have already had satisfactory results from being booked during that year. This is never and will not ever be the time for people to go, you know what? I've never seen you before, but you got a graphic and it says you're available. We may as well go for it. And I'm just trying to soften the blow because I see this and I see that you're paying these graphic designers to make these extravagant graphics saying that you're available. And I just want to be clear. I am not answering a single DM anymore about Big Gay Brunch. You will be reached out to, you will be discussed with by me, but if you DM me, it will go into the ether. That doesn't mean that I'm not booking people who are DMing me, but it is not because they are DMing me. And WrestleMania week shows, feeling like you have to once again, if I'm booked on this, it'll change everything. If I'm booked on this show and I finally get my chance, everyone will know, when they can't even get the things over that they are already booked and doing. When they are booked on shows constantly that have no growth, increase in attention from fans, no online discussion, nothing they are doing is interesting. People are booked on these shows because what they are already doing is interesting, and it is being used to build financial growth for the company by selling tickets and getting more people to watch the streams. Please stop cruxing yourself and your self-value on whether or not you are featured on these shows, and please stop acting like we are just looking, searching around going, I don't know who the hell we're going to book for any of these shows if we don't see someone with a graphic saying they're available and around for that specific event. That's grievance number two.
I can help with this one.
Yeah.
Send all your DMs to the TikTok.
Yes, the Weekend at Effie's TikTok DMs are the place to be seen and heard. That's where everybody is checking the DMs. You're not checking a single one of those DMs, are you? I know this all sounds really harsh, but I feel like if someone doesn't say it, you're going to keep just living in the fantasy world and then being mad when you're not included in things that you were never going to be included in because you had a chance all year to put the work in and I didn't see it.
It's also like, y'all, just on a human being level, do not derive your self-importance or your self-worth from stuff that you're doing. You are already important. You are a human being on this planet. You have hopes, dreams, and desires that should be recognized.
Well, that's
going to
be too
yourself.
Deep for wrestling.
It's just don't look for anything external to validate yourself. You are enough as you are.
I started doing these gay shows out of frustration because there was nothing that wasn't run by sex pests, or nothing that wasn't paying $0, or nothing that was highlighting in a meaningful, fun way what we were doing as gay athletes. Now people are cruxing the value and worth of their career in wrestling on whether or not they are featured on these shows, when in fact there are a lot more opportunities now for gay wrestling.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think that the end all be all comes with being featured by Effie. Trust me. Like it's not going to make or break your livelihood. And also find some interests outside of wrestling. Like Peter said, you're a valuable human being, whether or not your wrestling career goes off. This is a business objectively built on if fans are interested in something and will financially purchase tickets to watch it. It is not an emotional business. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how skilled you think you are. It doesn't matter how much tape you've studied. None of that matters. It is all up in the air. Effort makes a difference. Being on the cusp of things makes a difference. Being ahead of trends makes a difference. But in the end, the differences will never be the definers. And you are going to find yourself looking around going, well, why not me? And there's no real answer. I can't answer why Effie works at this specific point in time. Who knows? 2 years from now, a year from now, 2 days from now, I don't know. It could not work at all. There is nothing that makes sense about it. I can give you lots of tips of what works for me. It doesn't mean it's going to work. There is no answer to how to work in the entertainment industry. Sometimes things just work. Space Jam makes no fucking sense. Let's take the Looney Tunes characters and put them with Michael Jordan and Bill Murray and have them fight aliens. It doesn't make any sense on paper. It worked at the time. It was 1997. They redid it. Didn't work. Nobody wants to talk about LeBron James and how bad that was. Okay. Things just don't work sometimes.
That was the biggest moneymaker for Warner Brothers of all like it was $1 billion in merch sales.
And Burger King merch. Yeah, that was, I was at the Burger King getting my Space Jam merch for
sure. And it's so funny that for me, it wasn't until I was an adult where I was like, Space Jam, objectively, not a good movie.
Yeah, barely a functional film. Yeah,
exactly.
Like, that's, people can look and be like, but I'm so much better at wrestling than so-and-so. Yeah, well, Space Jam is not as good of a film as Goodfellas, and it made a lot more money. Both are successful in their own way, but like, there's a lot more people that could reference Space Jam than if I was like, you remember in Goodfellas, which a lot of people know, it's very popular, nowhere near as popular as Space Jam, which has zero of the skill of a Goodfellas type film.
I had a VHS tape that was Fly Away Home.
Okay.
It's followed
by Space
Jam. Is
that about the girl who makes a goose
Anna Paquin.
Chaser? Anna Paquin.
Jeff Daniels?
Yeah, Jeff Daniels, Anna Paquin, and she has to teach the geese to fly again?
She has to teach the geese to fly again. They make a specialized plane that looks like a goose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Gee, can, like, it's like a hang gliding plane.
I used to sob to that movie.
I'm glad you got it out of your system. I hate watching these kids like make or break themselves.
Yeah.
And there are people who just like,
stop putting so much pressure on yourself.
After they meet me or hang out with me or spend time with me, they really enjoy me and understand things better. But there are people who hold a grudge for a long time against me if I am not utilizing them or answering their DMs. Yeah. And it's like, listen, honey, I got enough on my plate. I promise. Third grievance. I've had a lot of people reaching out. And we'll get into this in succession when we get into the episode more about how last week.
Great TV show.
It is a great TV show. Shout out Jeremy Strong.
Shout out Kieran Culkin.
I almost went into the city last week. Speaking of things that went down, I finished my yoga interview and I almost went into the city last week. I'm not going to get too ahead to see Jeremy Strong because he's doing a Broadway acting play thing, but then I just went to bed instead. So we'll get into it. Third grievance. I had a lot of people reaching out after the GCW holiday special where I went and aired some of my grievances about Mance Warner and some of my plans about what I'm going to do after he broke my nose, after he attacked me unceremoniously from the back. And they were reaching out to me saying, what a great promo. You're such a good talker. What a good promo. And yes, objectively, the segment would be considered a promo, but it is so fucking stupid to me that me going out and being like, hey, my best friend broke my nose and attacked me from the back, and I'm going to fucking ruin his life, while also mentioning the fact that it makes perfect financial objective sense to attack Effie. If you look at the list of people who have attacked Effie, they have all gone on to great things. They've all had great successful times. Look at the people who have asked for matches and feuds with Effie. What's happened? They've all had great success. It's beautiful. It's an open secret where we're not allowed to tell Effie that he's the key to a lot of people's success and a lot of what people are able to do in rekindling their careers. So yes, I understand it makes sense. And me venting these frustrations and speaking, because I'm a good public speaker. Peter, did you know that I was voted to be the class speaker for my high school graduation?
How'd it go?
Fantastic. It was incredible. One of my friend's dad still brings it up when I see him. He's like, it was the funniest thing I've ever seen. Sorry. Objectively, I'm a good public speaker. Part of that is wrestling. I don't always get a chance to do public speaking in wrestling. I don't do as many promos as I used to do because I'm spending 2 to 3 hours a week doing the podcast. I'm spending hours a week on stream talking. I don't have time to just sit down and be like, here's a minute about why this match is important when I have 30 in a fucking month.
Mm-hmm.
To have people come to me and say, what a great promo, like, oh, this feud is heating up, and use all these fucking insider terms to me to try to compliment me, it just sets me ablaze. Because this isn't, I'm not trying to do a good segment. I was given a mic, and Brett was like, what are you going to say? And I was like, whatever the fuck I want to say. I have things to say. I have stuff going on in my brain, and I have to go into this weekend, and like I said, I'm going to do things the right way. I have to enter a fucking rumble to get my chance at Blake Christian, who I've beat before, and I brought that up as well. But in 6 minutes, yeah, I'm a pretty good fucking talker. I'm pretty good at setting my emotions in front of me. I do a lot of talking. I don't need to hear from you that it's a great wrestling segment, that you're excited about the feud. It just minimizes the actual fucking human conflict that I'm having here with someone who I've spent hundreds of nights on the road with for the past 10 years of my life. I don't need any of that. So if you're going to treat things as insider language and come to me as a fan and try to tell me you're so excited for our feud and we're really cooking it up and I'm so good at promoing, the segment was so great, just keep it to yourself. I don't fucking want to hear it. I don't need to hear your insider terms. I'm on my own path and I'm doing my own thing. This isn't just some wrestling thing where I'm like MJF walking around going, you know, I'm the best promo on the mic, and he repeats the same fucking 5 sentences that he's done for the past 6 years and twerks him a little bit if he's got some new harebrained scheme that he sold Tony Khan on. I'm not going to walk around and tell people I'm the best promo. I'm not a fucking inside baseball loser like that who critiques things based on the pro wrestling knowledge. It's dumb, it's stupid, it's infantile, and it makes me feel like an idiot Jack in the Box that's just there for your entertainment and nobody's actually hearing the real things that are coming out of my mouth. That's grievance fucking 3. Are you ready for grievance 4?
4.
So I finally found the caramel big cups at Kroger. And Peter, I have been working so hard in the gym. I have been working on honing my diet in. And did I have a little slipsy oopsie today and eat 2 full chicken burritos and 2 caramel big cups? Yeah. All right. And officially, the cut doesn't start until next week. Okay. But when I went into that grocery store, and I've looked at a lot of gas stations and a lot of grocery stores, the last time I found them, Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. And I kept telling myself, woo, great, this is good. I can't find them anywhere here. They're not around here. I even brought up the worst business decision of all time, which was, hey, if I buy 16 packs of two cups, big cup caramels on Amazon, I can sell them for a profit at the merch table, but I'll eat them all, which would have just not been any profit, and I would have just been getting full of sugar. So I really need these caramel big cups to go the fuck away. It's the best candy I've had in years, in literal years, and it makes me so happy to eat them. The texture is perfect. The caramel's under the peanut butter. There's enough peanut butter to make it still feel like a Reese's. It still has that bite from the Reese's and the way that it holds the cup. There's a particular waxiness to their chocolate, and I need them to go away. It is not good for my health to continue seeing caramel big cups every time I go into Kroger, and I'm trying to make healthy decisions.
You were eating yogurt earlier.
I ate a whole tub of protein yogurt.
And you turn to me and you go, oh, I fucked up. I ate too much protein.
I did, though. And really, it was more because, like, you know, when I go to do cardio, I'm going to be farting in the gym from eating all that protein. And I don't need that in my life. Okay. I'm a big 230-pound muscle stink bomb. And I just don't need to add to that if I don't need to add to that. But that fucking protein yogurt is so good. And I'll tell you this. You asked me to name my four top movies. Couldn't do it. Name my top food. Any form of custard. Okay. And guess what? Protein yogurt falls in the mouthfeel and deliciousness of a custard. And while it may be a healthier option than me just eating fucking flan all day, it is not going to help me in the end when I eat an entire tub of this shit when I sit down for breakfast and I can't just manage to put it in a little bowl and have a serving.
Did you, this is not helpful.
Okay.
Did you know that the same health benefit that you get from yogurt exists in ice cream?
No! I know that eating a gallon of ice cream can help you bulk, which I've bulked. I bulked enough. Look, we'll show the camera right now. I'm bulked. I'm big. I'm here. I'm ready. I got to cut back down to at least 215 by April. It's not easy.
Did you see the Jared Leto, Mark David Chapman movie?
Where he gained all that weight?
Mm-hmm. You know how movie. He gained all that weight?
How?
He microwaved pints of ice cream and drank them.
I mean, it's easy down. It's slurpalicious. Okay? I don't have any more grievances for now. But those are my four grievances. How much time did we kill on grievances?
22 minutes.
Yeah, I was talking fast too. So good luck, everyone. Welcome to Weekend at Effie's. I'm done grieving. Festivus is over. It's a new year, 2024. What are your hopes, Peter, for the new year?
Give me a couple weeks.
That's fine. You want to know my hopes?
Mm-hmm.
Same hopes I had last year. And I failed. You know what my hope was? 20% less matches for 20% more money. You know what I did instead? 5% more matches for about 5% more money. I'm not complaining. I did well. I'm fine. I'm good. The doldrums of December and Christmas spending makes you question your life a little bit. But I think everyone this time of year is like, money's tight. Money's tight this time of year. And I am blessed to be more booked than ever. My favorite other, this isn't a grievance. This is just me making fun of how stupid y'all are. I saw so many people tweeting, open December 22nd and 23rd. Hit me up if you've got a booking. And I'm going, it's the day before Christmas, you stupid idiot. What fans are like, we really want to go see a show this weekend. No, they're all going to midnight mass and they're all fucking sitting around the Yule log and hanging out with grandma for the first time in a year. No one's going to a wrestling show. Stay home. You're not going to get booked. Please stop tweeting this three times a week. Oh, December 23rd and 22nd are open for some reason. The reason is there's no shows. Nobody's dumb enough to run and just lose money so you can say you were booked. Well, I worked every weekend this year, brother. That's like when I worked with a guy in Florida who said, yeah, wrestling's my full-time gig, but I do construction like 4 or 5 days a week. And you're going, yeah, I think you're measuring this wrong. I think you should realize you're not going to be booked this weekend. I was blessed to be booked on a Thursday. I thought it was beautiful for GCW to do a holiday show. Book a lot of people, pay me to come in and just talk my shit. It was very fun. I had a good time. I'm going to hold that. I tweeted today again that I also made a promise to myself to try to eat more dust and dirt this year. And I think I did. And I think my health has been pretty good. So I'm going to just kind of continue eating a lot of dust and dirt, because I don't think it hurts. And I also took your advice. I'm keeping that spider in my room. I will say,
spiders
are
our friends.
I did some vacuuming, cleaning, cleaned the roof in there a little bit. Turns out part of the roof in that room has been collapsing. So I feel like we should probably say something. Nah, you should go look. It's a whole panel coming out of the roof. That definitely is not a new thing. And I hit it to make sure it wasn't water-based, but it's just, it's down. And I didn't even notice. It's kind of just letting it ride. Good times.
Howard,
get over here. I ran the dishwasher today. Didn't even leak that bad.
I'm good.
I think we got to spray the ceiling of the bathroom.
It's looking a little moldy.
It's a little dicey, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
I haven't felt like we're living in a moldy space. But yeah. It doesn't look like it's going to get better.
Yeah.
I love this house. I like it. It's great. There's a lot of positives. But I also don't want to like continue into the year and do what I've been doing, which is, I'm leaving. I'll see you later. Good luck. Which happens a lot. Thank you, by the way, for watching Cranberry last week.
Of course, the sweetheart.
She is so happy to be around other dogs. I love when she's over here.
Even you came home and she insisted on sleeping on the couch.
Yeah. I was like, I'm not going to move her. She was like laying with you and Lucy. And I was like, you know what? This is where she wants to be.
If you are on the Cranberry tier, you will get photos of Lucy and Cranberry taking a nap together.
So cute. You take wonderful dog photos. I had to have you take a picture of a pennant for me, and you're like, give me your phone. It's a better camera. And I was like, no, it's not. Look at the photos you take. I just, not the best at photos. I'm learning. I'm trying. I have photos taken of me. I don't take photos. Bebop, what do you need? He says, you're talking about Cranberry. She's not even here. Oh. Well, last week I had a very interesting week before Christmas, and we'll discuss that now. I started the week going up a day early for the GCW holiday show because my good friend Emilio Sparks had reached out to me. Emilio Sparks, I've known for a few years. He does a lot with Wale Mania. Him and Wale are pretty tight bros. He also does the Renee Paquette podcast, or did while it was still going on. She's now taken on a role at AEW where she doesn't really have time, I guess, to do podcasting as much anymore. But it gave me the opportunity when they interviewed me to speak with her, to make John Moxley jealous, and to meet my good friend Amy Dumas, who we did not get to go to Netherworld with, but we went to Netherworld nonetheless. You can listen to the old episode to get that information.
Lights on tour next year.
Yeah, I would like to do the lights on tour where they're not fucking attacking me. But I will say this, in the end, I think it's really good to be scared that time of year. I think it gets you out of a little bit of the doldrums of the cold coming on to just be so frightened that you want to die.
Yeah.
Like there's no other, like it's a particular kind of high to get scared like that. And fuck that Raggedy Ann doll, creepiest little fucking, and that Yeti. Okay. Either way, Amelia Sparks had reached out to me and said, hey, I'm doing this new thing. And he had one episode of it done that I watched. I watched that, and then I watched the Yorgos Lanthimos, Ari Aster, Director on Directors. Ooh. And he was like, was it weird? And I was like, you know, objectively compared to what I was watching next, not that weird. But I thought about it. It's a little weird. It's a little cool. So here's the concept. You do a full yoga session with a very skilled yoga teacher, just you and him and the yoga teacher. And then you do an interview right after that. And I got to tell you, I used to do a lot more yoga. I want to say this in a polite way. At one point in my life, I was doing so much yoga that my flexibility was so extreme that I was able to pleasure myself. And at that point I said, I got to peel back on the yoga or else I'll never leave my house again. Is it my mom listens to this podcast, doesn't she? God. I had to stop doing it when I reached that point where that was possible for me, because it was looking like a bad future for me if I was able to keep doing that, is what I'm going to say. This is horrible. We can't bleep it out though. Authenticity is a part of the brand.
We're locked in at this point.
All right. Yeah. Well, we're locked in. So either way, I used to do a lot more yoga. I did a lot of DDPY back when I was legally allowed to smoke weed. one of my favorite things to do is to dry scoop pre-workout, smoke a whole bong to myself, and then do hot yoga in the room by myself. And there's something magical about getting your body to that level of flexibility. We also used to do a lot more hot yoga, me and AJ, when we were in Tallahassee, until someone shot up our yoga studio with people in it and they died. And AJ was like, I'm not going back there.
Yo, holy shit.
We weren't there, but he was like, I'm not going back there. And I was like, all right, well, it seems like a low likelihood it'll happen again. It seems like they've, you know, the teacher has a handgun now. I think we'll be okay. Either way, there were moments in my life where there was more yoga going on. And second to that, I didn't weigh as much as I weigh now. All right. I'm not saying, oh, I'm a big, you know, it's not an unhealthy weight, but there's a lot more weight that I'm carrying around. And I want to say, getting into that yoga session, she said, oh, have you practiced yoga before? And I was like, of course, I love yoga. And she's like, so you know most of the poses? I said, yeah. And I did. I knew most of the poses. I am moving a fuck lot of meat around, and I was pouring sweat. This was a workout of all workouts, but I cracked my neck something fierce during that thing, and it felt like I was paying for chiropractic again, being honest. The idea of doing this yoga, and
I'm personally glad you're not doing the chiropractic anymore.
Really?
Yeah, it's not. It's,
can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I hear everybody talking about chiropractic being a problem or being junk science, but I will tell you this. When I can feel in my neck what is wrong and they can snap it and it reduces that pressure, I honestly, here's what I'll say. I think only pro wrestlers should be able to go to the chiropractor. I don't think it should be something for everybody. I think it is something that you have to keep doing. But also, I keep falling on my head. I was going to the chiropractor a lot, though. You're correct about that. But also, I can feel the difference. I am very stiff, and I am able to. One time, one of the chiropractors told me the wrong thing, which was, the only difference between me and you is I've got the leverage. And once I figured that out, I started finding weird ways to crack this shit. I crack a lot of shit constantly. And I used to think, oh, is this like a nervous tic that I'm cracking this much? No, I've been dropped on my head a lot of times, and I need to release this tension. So, chiropractor or not, I'm cracking this shit. But the idea of this yoga interview is that it breaks me down enough to where, like, you're not talking to Effie anymore. And he made a point. He was like, I know you. I've known you a long time, which he has. It's hard to turn you off. And I was like, you don't have to agree or disagree with that statement. I think you've seen me off more than anybody else has seen me off. Okay? But he said, I'm going to turn you off with this yoga, and I'm going to interview Taylor. I was like, all right, let's see what you got. Boy, he interviewed Taylor. I can't wait for this interview to drop, because I was raw. I was not polite. I was airing some grievances, but I was also just very matter of fact about a lot of things. And I think that it's good to be able to put that in the public sphere, because it means that you're not going to have to just yell about it in a hotel room at 2 a.m. You know? I think it's magic. Yoga.
When's this coming up?
I don't know. I have no idea. But there's one online already with Biggie Langston that was recorded a while back. I hope his, you know, body heals. I don't think he's going to be able to wrestle anymore, but I hope that he finds joy in other ways. I think he has a brilliant mind for professional wrestling. Hearing him talk about matches and hearing Emilio talk about, you know, Biggie still watches the indies, still watches matches, still keeps up with wrestling, you know, even outside of being able to work in the ring. And so it's good to hear someone's opinion like that, who's been a world champion, who's been at WrestleMania, who's done these things and has kind of a different mindset for wrestling than you do. Because, you know, perspective, it's all perspectives.
Yeah.
It's perspectives over and over. But hopefully that interview comes out soon. Either way, thank you. He put me up for the night, got me in early. And what did I do in that hotel room? I went to fucking sleep, Peter. And what did I do all week? I went to fucking sleep, Peter.
Yeah.
This is why I'm so fired up. I haven't had this much rest in forever. And it's so hard for me to just allow myself to go be a lazy piece of shit. I can do it for like a day, and then I'm like, oh, what am I doing? And even within that, I'm still like at the gym every day, and I was doing laundry today, and I was feeling the doldrums of the retrograde. And I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to vacuum. I'm going to vacuum the ceiling too because it's a mess. I'm going to notice the ceiling's falling apart. I got some new merch in. I'm going to organize some merch. I'm going to do laundry, but still releasing myself from feeling the need to constantly be putting out content or constantly be taking care of wrestling stuff or constantly be searching for bookings on days where I'm open. Like, it is very hard for me to turn all of that off. So I've been trying my hardest to meditate in that way and turn my fucking brain off all week. But I have one more stop on my tour first, which is the GCW Holiday Show.
Yeah.
Holiday. It's a time of holiday. Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not allowed to legally go into who picked me up for the show. But Manders was with us too. Okay. And it's because of, should I just say it? Yeah, I'll just say it. Perro picked me up.
Oh.
Now here's the thing. Perro's with his husband, so it made it a little bit better. And honestly, I had a good talk with Perro where I basically said, you know, cause Perro's fucking with me and he's bigger than me, not by much. And I said, Perro, I got enough shit on my plate right now. Could you just not be a fucking dick? And then I ate a whole pack of Ferrero Rochers, and I drank a bunch of lemonade, and then I went to the holiday show, and guess who looked cute as hell in his little Christmas outfit? Well, yeah, me, but also me and Speedball. And that picture, I put it out on Twitter, I think, of me and Speedball in our little Christmas outfits. We looked adorable. Mm-hmm. Speedball, your fashion sense, immaculate. And when he wears shoes, great sense in shoes. We both look so cute in our little outfits. He had a match that night with someone. I don't fucking care.
Speedball, come to Atlanta.
Speedball, come to Atlanta. Speedball, please, before they take the pandas back to China, we need to go see the pandas and the giraffes and the purple elephants. Was that too? I don't know. Doesn't matter. So this event was at the Mecca. Are you familiar with the Mecca?
I think you've talked about it before.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. Because it's the Knights of Columbus Hall in Ridgefield Park, New Jersey. And it's hosted hundreds of wrestling shows and quinceañeras, but mostly wrestling shows. And lo and behold, Mike Santana, who is signed by AEW, has been doing a lot of work over there the past few years, is going through a little reinvention himself, was booked on this show, had a great match with Alec Price, but I did get to give him my favorite Mecca quote, which is, you know what's funny, Santana? He said, what? I said, no matter what you do in wrestling, no matter where you go in the world, no matter how much you accomplish, you somehow end up back in this building, and it's a reminder that you're still a wrestler. And he's like, you know what? You're right. I was like, it's a good reflection point to come back into this building because you're coming back in and you're going, I have spent this year traveling the entire world. I've gone everywhere. I've been in front of huge crowds, little crowds, excited crowds, foreign crowds, all sorts of people. And I've still made my way back to the same building I've been performing in since 2017, I'm pretty sure. And find myself still putting on great professional wrestling for whatever company brings you in because it is a magic central mecca of independent professional wrestling. And so it's not a sad thing to remind yourself, like, you always end up back in the mecca. And for a while, wrestling in that building, I was like, God, how many more times am I going to wrestle in this fucking Knights of Columbus? But now I go in there and I go, you know what? This is the center and heart of all things indie wrestling. I met so many people in that building. I had so many weird memories in that building. I can name off a bunch of weird matches I've definitely had in that building. And every time I come back there, I'm a different person. I'm a different wrestler. I'm a different human who's learned new lessons. And on this specific occasion, I just got to come in and talk my shit, which is even lovelier because I got there and I was like, Brett, do you have a match for me? He said, yeah, hold on. I said, okay. I said, but I get to give me the mic after the match. He said, yeah, that's fine. And then as time got closer, there were some cancellations. There's some illness going around. Some people didn't make it. There weren't enough people in the building. And he said, do you just want to take the mic? And I said, yeah, yeah, I just want to take the mic. You know, am I a little mad I drug two suitcases up here? I don't know. Am I extremely happy that I opened up my gear bag to do laundry today and I realized everything's already clean? Yeah, that was the best feeling ever. I was just doing regular laundry, and I was like, all right, let me make sure I get all my gear in there. No, didn't have to. It's not dirty. I didn't use it. I just got to talk my shit, which we discussed in the grievance portion of this episode earlier. You can go find the full promo. Listen to me. I'm complaining about myself. You can find what I had to say on my Instagram in full. Also, I don't want to shit talk Brett because Brett's done a lot of wonderful things for me. And here's one of them that's not wonderful. Why the fuck would you release this to the public on Christmas night? Not on Christmas Eve. On Christmas night is when you decide to release this to the public. Like, hey, guys, check this intense emotional thing out. It's Christmas night. You just got presents.
You've got nothing better to do.
Oh, that's the thought, I guess. But people had plenty to do because nobody saw that fucking video. Please go watch it. Go at least let me know what you think. But if you say I'm a good talker, keep that to yourself because I fucking already know that. Objectively, I'm a great talker. I'm paid to talk in many varieties of my life. I shouldn't get fired up about it. Either way, I got through the holiday show. Had a lovely time. I went afterwards. God bless Charlie Tiger, Young, Dumb, and Broke's Charlie Tiger, because he took me. Who was with us? There's a whole crew of people with us. Either way, doesn't matter. To the after party, we went and hung out for a while in Brooklyn. No, it wasn't even in Brooklyn. In Manhattan. We went into the after party in Manhattan. And then I flew out at like 6 in the morning to come back home. I didn't sleep. I wanted to hang out with everybody. It was the holiday times. We're all there. Joey Janela, he was there. You know, who else? Oh, I ran into Giancarlo. Giancarlo, I haven't gotten to see a lot. He works at AEW now. He's done very cool video work lately. Please go check out the video work he's done on Billy Starks recently. He did like a day in the life, 9-minute video about Billy Starks. And we had a good discussion about being artistically satisfied. And it does seem like he's got a lot of control over what he's doing now. His video work is top notch. He helped with a lot of the Jeff Jarrett Effie video stuff. Setting a little bridge for me and Jeff Jarrett to be able to communicate on. So I always will thank him for that. And
did he do the home video?
Which one?
Where you're at the truck?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 He did that.
Nothing ever like came from that.
Yeah. Well, too bad. You know, something actually did come from that. Jeff Jarrett's now on TV every week. So once again, attacking Effie makes financial sense.
Did you ever put that photo out?
The one with. Uh-huh. Should I?
I don't know. It's a great photo. It's really funny.
I think I have to, right?
I think you kind of have to.
What's he going to do?
Yeah, exactly.
There's nothing he can do.
Exactly.
Should I just write, it's all good now? I think the only reason I didn't put it out is because the kid's in it. But maybe I can block the kid out.
Let's just Photoshop Bebop's face.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just put Bebop in it. Okay, that's perfect. Yeah, we're going to get this done. That photo does have to come out. Oh, my God. I forgot that photo existed, Peter. Oh, this is good. Okay. Coming soon to a screen near you, Jeff Jarrett and Eggy. That's what he called me at first. Where's Eggy? Where's Eggy at? I just remember the first time I closed the door and I said, directly, I said, I know you're Jeff Jarrett, but I'm Effie and I know what works here. You're going to have to listen to me. Didn't pay off in the end, but, you know, what are you going to do? And then, Peter, I came home and I slept. And we've watched movies. And we've had a wonderful time.
We watched Ferrari.
We watched Ferrari. We watched The Holdovers.
We watched The Holdovers. Oh, lovely.
So good.
Lovely.
Just kept getting better.
Yeah. Oh, my
Just
God.
Just Alexander Payne.
I had a whole, like, Grinch transformation over the course of that movie. Because I turned to you during the opening credits and said, maybe there's a reason they don't make movies like this anymore.
And then what happened? We all melted like the snow. Okay, it's this eye. That movie is delightful. I recommend it to everyone in their Christmas watch time.
Whoever recommended 30 Coins, bless you. That is so up my alley. I am confused as fuck. Not since Dark have I felt confused by a TV show.
Here's an impression of Peter watching 30 Coins. I walk in and I look at him and I go, "What is going on?" And you go, you just want to watch it on your own? And I go, I don't know, maybe. Just tell me what's happening. And then you explain something that makes little to no sense to me, and then I walk back in my room. Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm so hooked. I haven't even gotten to season 2 yet. I have no idea how Giamatti fits into this whole thing.
Or if he's going to speak Spanish.
Yeah, it's
Español.
I'm excited. It's lovely. It is so much fun because half of it is just like a drama in the Spanish town. And then the other half of it is like, oh my God, this cow gave birth to a human baby. What do we do with the baby? Oh no, the baby's a spider. Oh no.
What?
Yeah, it's awesome. Wild.
Shout out Thedea the Witch, Danny, for sending a lovely Christmas package to us.
Yes, thank you.
I can't wait to play Rapala Fishing on Switch and watch these ridiculous alien B-movies that are sent in this beautiful four-pack. Now, I had to ask you, what's the significance of wearing the metal bracelet? Does that do anything for me?
Metal bracelet?
Oh, I didn't show you? She also sent a metal bracelet.
Oh, what's it made out of?
I don't know. But I figured if there's someone I should ask, it would be you. Like how you said, I don't know, and then you immediately found it.
Flamestone.
Mm. Sounds lit.
I don't know. Try it out. If it jives with you.
Okay.
I had someone, my friend Cassandra earlier this year was given some bracelets, and then I had to come over to her house and remove the curse.
Yeah, I got
to
be a little careful. I got some demonic pledges that I put in. Let's look up Flamestone. Let's just find out. I'd like to know more. Okay, here we go. Oh, it stimulates the throat chakras and it can help increase in intuition, introspection, and spiritual growth. And it will help your clarity in your spiritual growth. And it has a unique ability to glow under UV light. Ooh. But yeah, it should help with my throat chakras, which I use my throat chakras a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm a speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you, Danny, for these wonderful gifts.
That's
I can't
perfect.
Wait to watch these movies. We have a DVD player now. Hopefully it has enough power. What did it say with Maestro? It didn't have enough power?
It didn't have enough power.
I can't wait for you to watch Maestro.
I need to watch it.
Just the best use of Snoopy in a film all year.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
It's the photograph, right? The famous photograph of the Snoopy float.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yes.
I don't remember their name. What, like, incredible street photographer, though.
You're going to die an old queen, Snoopy. Oh, it's so good. It's just so good. My
favorite thing I've seen about that movie is the family watching it, and they interviewed them and said, did you learn more about, you know, your father, your grandfather? And they go, no, but I did learn a lot about Bradley Cooper.
Honestly, Bradley Cooper was fantastic. I don't care. You know? And, you know, my favorite Bradley Cooper film, Burnt, he gets to show his cooking skills. And in this one, he directs the fuck out of that orchestra. But here's the challenge I gave to Pitar that I'm giving to all of you on how to watch Maestro. First, you watch all of the film Tar up until she gets to her parents' house and puts in the Leonard Bernstein VHS that inspired her to become a conductor. Then you watch all of Maestro. Then you watch the end of Tar. I think it's a perfect combination.
You might be. I'm not going to do it. I can't sit through.
I don't think you have to do it now, but I think one day you will want to do it.
Okay.
And it will make you feel...
Okay. I'm going to watch Maestro first.
Okay. Can I give another Maestro spoiler?
Yes. Yes.
Hold on. Leonard Bernstein has to think about his whole life before he gay dances in the club. Woo! Who's that wild, flamboyant, blonde wrestler who says woo? It's me, and me only, motherfucker. Wooings are the nastiest chicken you've ever seen in your whole life. You are the nastiest, greasiest chicken you've ever seen. Wooings! That's my Ric Flair selling shitty chicken impression. Just the worst person of the last century, I would guess, if you had to measure it.
Yeah.
Also, people are finally seeing Iron Claw, and they're going, that's the worst Ric Flair I've ever seen. And you said to me when we got done, you go, was Ric Flair really like that? And I go, not really, sort of. And then I showed you Ric Flair, and there's nothing like it.
Not really, no.
He assaulted a lot of women. Objectively.
Mm.
And that's why every AEW Wednesday night is the Ric Flair. Woo! And tell the lady to come to his hotel room. I'm not going to do a good Ric Flair impression anymore because he doesn't deserve it. Okay? What a piece of human trash. You know, I left that Ric Flair retirement show early because I really thought he was going to go for it that night.
Yeah.
He should have. He would have at least left at a good time before it got real dark. Are you investing in the Ric Flair altcoin?
He has one. Ooh.
Boy, does he. The Woo coin.
I actually think Bitcoin's going to pop back up next year.
It is. It's doing great. Bitcoin!
Are we ready for questions?
Please, please. I hope everyone had a wonderful holiday season.
Go see Aquaman 2.
Go see Aquaman 2. Holy shit. Patrick Wilson is, he's fucking hot. He's just, he's so hot. That's all I got to say about that. All
right. Danny, Jordan Oliver released a seat cushion for merch. What's a piece of unique wrestler merch, a wrestler that had you go, why didn't I think of that?
Huh. Okay, this is good. Good question. The seat cushion, genius, because if you've been to a lot of wrestling shows, not a lot of comfortable seating. Makes sense. You know, I don't know. Releasing my own fragrance is genius. I'm sorry to just toot my own horn, but parlaying creating my own wrestling fragrance into a company creating my own wrestling fragrance.
So the guy who I'm taking astrology shit from,
yes,
does collaborations with the perfume company.
Yes,
you did your perfume with.
Connected. Black mm-hmm. Phoenix Alchemy Lab. Mm-hmm. I love it. I found one extra bottle in my room cleaning up, so I might just wear it myself. It is a little demonic, a little pretty, a little sexy. I don't want to just say my own stuff though, you know what I mean? I would like to see more wrestler makeups. Sadly, that big titted idiot Steph DeLander makes a pretty wonderful lip gloss and lipstick that now AJ has ordered many of them. Pretty crazy. Uh-oh.
Mine is somewhere.
Yours is somewhere. But it is actually a wonderful lip gloss. And I don't want to promote her.
It was in my pocket earlier today.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you're finding use, and I'm glad it's lovely for you. That big-titted idiot has ruined my life. She poisoned his brain. She took him to Australia, and he got an earring. That's all I ever wanted was an earring. And what did I get? Never got it. Ruined.
It's from Julie.
Julie.
In honor of Footloose, what is your favorite dance sequence from a movie? Southland Tales, Justin Timberlake.
Oh, Killers. My God. If I ever have to sit through that whole movie again. Now I can't listen to that killer song because it makes me sick to my stomach thinking about his goatee.
There's a director's cut.
No. No. Peter, come on. It wasn't good. You think it's better?
What are we going to do after we're done with Paxton and Fast and Furious?
We're never going to get done with it. We got to get done with it. It's time. It's time for Fast 9. Ludacris goes to space. We've been talking about it our whole lives. It's time. It's time for us to get it together. It's time to send Ludacris to space. It's time for Tyrese to go to space. And it's time for family to be reunited. If the rumors and accusations about Vin Diesel are true, then I would like to say we are pulling the plug on our miniseries.
Are we?
Yeah. I don't stand for sexual violence.
Do we have to put it on pause till they work this out in the courts?
Yeah, I think so. Okay, so we're going to watch Bill Pullman. Have you seen his new show at all?
No. This is what not is that his new? New show?
Center?
That's old.
Is it?
That's old.
Well, it's new to Netflix.
Because that was around the time that he died.
Did he die?
No.
Oh, yeah,
maybe.
We can't.
I don't know.
This. Oh, yeah.
We're not rehashing this one again.
Ugh, the bald one without baggage, Bill Pullman.
What do you call a polar bear in the jungle?
What?
Lost.
It's so simple. I was thinking of a wordplay. That's great.
Thank That's you, great. Heather.
Thank you, Heather. Rule. Wonderful.
Never stop. This is from Machete Von Kill. Hopes and predictions for 2004.
24. I hope in 2004 George Bush doesn't win again. hopes and predictions for 2024.
Yes.
that I will stop holding myself to such a high standard when it comes to what I allow to make me money, that I will try to do my best to financially be effy to the best of my ability and not be such a stickler for, I want dweeb money. Give me some dweeb money.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I want a contract. I'm not saying I want any. I'm just saying, like, dweebs, give me your money and I'm going to stop not taking it just because they're dweebs. I'm going to tell them they're not dweebs. And I'm going to take their money. All right. That's the hope. That's the hope, is that I'll get off my own fucking moral high horse. I talked about that with Emilio Sparks last week, about, like, people hold me to such a high standard because I hold myself to such a high standard. And when I look around and go, why are you holding me to such a high standard? They go, you're the only one holding yourself to that high standard. So I'm trying to not hold myself to a high standard, but sort of go, like, all right, what is the real benefit of your attack on dweebs? Why can't you just be like everyone else and just, like, go, like, yeah, we know, stop saying it or they'll take our money. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm in a moment of weakness.
If money, time, and travel were non-issues, I could tell you my predictions for 2024, but that would be like a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
It's going to get interesting.
Is it going to be hot?
Like sexy?
No. Like the temperature.
Oh, well, that, I mean, we're locked into that one.
I'm so sweaty, Peter. And I'm just going to keep getting sweatier. I used to joke that I'm wet from April to October, and it's starting to look like March to December now. This is my only dry time.
It was a surprisingly warm Christmas,
even
for us.
I had the heat on earlier. Had to turn it off.
Mm-hmm.
Had to turn it off. Mm-hmm. It got too hot.
If money, time, and travel were non-issues, where would your dream New York... New Year's Eve location be?
So can you start? Where would yours be?
Yeah. I want to do that thing where you get on like the Concorde jet or whatever the fuck, and you go to each location as it becomes a new year. So you get to do the new year's
like a lot of
multiple
times.
Multiple times. Yeah.
That's super lit. I've been thinking about this somewhat because this will be the fifth year that I have entered inside of the Showboat Casino as the clock strikes midnight on another New Year's. That's not a bad thing, but it does. You do have sort of this weird feeling of like, okay, so what's happened since last year? Well, I'm in the Showboat, and it's a blessing. Like GCW, one of the hottest companies in all of wrestling right now. What an honor to get to spend that much time in this company, working this hard, doing this much. But it is, in a sense, a little bit difficult to be in the exact same spot over and over and over as you enter a new year and expecting anything to be different in the year that you're entering. You know what I mean? So for me, I think I would like a New Year's Eve where I started at home and there's not much going on. I've not had one of those in a very long time. And I love the people and I love wrestling and I love New Year's Eve spending that in Atlantic City at the Showboat. But also there are questionable things going on all the time in Atlantic City, and starting your new year around that kind of energy, it can't be the most healthy thing of all time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it. I'm very excited. I'm going to have a great week, and I'm going to go to Glory Pro Saturday on the 30th, and then we're going to go in for the 31st. And then I will be home very late Monday, but it'll be fine.
Okay, this weirdly ties the entire podcast, including our mini-sode together, into one.
Huh.
What would Normand have to say about Footloose?
He would ask Dennis Quaid to quote a few more Bible verses. I just want to say, before I get into really Normand and Footloose, I watched that one clip of Normand reverse visiting an Effie spot and turning it into a prayer session, and the part that came after where I gag reading the script that's going to include me having to kiss. And I just want to say, professional wrestlers are the best actors in the world. Not all of them, but in a sense, there is such a spirit of unscripted improvisation that I don't think even the best theater actors have, where I am performing a different play every night. And that night I was not only performing the play of Normand not wanting to kiss in the movie that J. George was making him be in, but then I had a match with Santana Jackson, noted Michael Jackson impersonator, in the same night, within the same amount of hours. And to sort of go like scene to scene like this and have commonalities and have it still be wrestling in a sense, but be so different and so weird and so unpredictable until you get out in the ring, like with the most basic plan of your life, it is rewarding and it is lovely to see that I have gained these skills as a performer. What would Normand think? He would make sure none of them were dancing. Normand doesn't like kissing. He doesn't like dancing. He doesn't like partying. He likes praying.
Certainly not crumping.
And he likes when Jesus is on the cross with those abs in his little Speedo, just hanging there helpless, knowing he's the most powerful creature in the world, but he just has to lay there and take that sin. He just has to take everybody's sin all over him, and he has to recreate his body in a new way in the spirit of the Lord. And that spear going in his side, it's eventually going to go to Hitler, and that makes Normand sad, but it's all written in the book of Christ. So Normand, he loves Footloose up until they start dancing again. If you'd cut that film off 15 minutes early, it'd be the best film of the year for him. And then they all never danced again.